Well, it's nice to be back home. And just in time to get the snow. Rained all the rain. Got to be involved in all that. But coming home Sunday night, it rained all the way to about Memphis. We had a good time going and seeing Rachel, and got to meet her future in-laws, and so spent time with them, good people, good church there that she's going to be going to, and they were real gracious to us and hosting us, and so it's just an exciting chapter in her life of getting married, and seems like just about the time you get settled into life, it throws you a curve and you're got to make a change. Something happened. And my kids are getting all grown and getting married. And I said, y'all want to get us up here more often? You got to give us some more grandkids. So that makes that road heat up a lot faster. Getting us up. But until then, y'all have to come see us. And so we're happy for Rachel. And she's got a good a man to be her husband. And I feel good about her future nuptials, I guess what you call them. So we'll be heading back up there. They're going to be here next month, I guess. And I think they're having a wedding shower. Is that right? Something like that. Anyway, so glad to be back home. And so we got a lot of needs, though, here tonight. People gone. Bo Smith, he's in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, enjoying that 90-degree weather. And I think he said 87 degrees or something like that today when I talked to him. And he's in. I said, well, we may get up to 50 today if we're lucky. And we weren't that lucky, I don't think. And we got that warm. So need to keep praying for Sister Elsie, Sister Wilkins. Went by and seen Sister Elsie. She seemed to be in good spirits. She's wanting to come home. And they may let her go home tomorrow, they said. And if Al leave her alone, quit aggravating her. She told him about them, so we'll keep her a few more days if he needs to. No, just give him more time. No, I said she may get to come home tomorrow. And I don't know the latest on Sister Wilkins. She doesn't look good. She's frail. And I'd like to have a positive report. But she's she wants to talk, but she wears her out to talk. That's what Mom was telling me. And keep her in your prayers. I know she appreciate that. And then I know the Pryors. I know Brother Jeff, and I don't know which one of the boys were real sick today. What's that? Jaren. I don't remember. Dad told me one of them, but I didn't get which one it was. Couldn't hold anything down, I don't think. Got some sort of bug. And so I know they would want your prayers. Is there any other needs that I'm not mentioning tonight?
What was that?
Sister Ann.
Not feeling good.
Okay. And, all right. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Sister Wally was not here. Not fun. Yeah. Did work okay. Pray for Sister Weininger. Sister Linda Fisher's real sick. Okay. But Dotson needs prayer. Well, if the ushers will come forward, take these meetings before the Lord and receive our Wednesday night offering. We can put them off your hands. Stand, take these things before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Give thanks for all the good things you've done in our life and for every benefit and blessing that we've received. We ask you, Lord, tonight to remember to help our brothers and sisters in this time and get through these times of sickness and pain. That you give them comfort and healing through this time, Lord. I ask you to keep your hand on Brother Smith as he's down in Florida. Mr. Wilkins, Lord. Mr. Wilkins, Mr. Elster, Mr. Dots, Mr. McGowan, Mr. Weininger, Pryors. Lord, we lift up these needs before you tonight and ask you to be mindful of them. I ask you to plead to him. Guide us to the Lord. Eugene Warren Moore.
Hallelujah. 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 His family members.
Bless the ones who give to God. Receive a blessing.
Bless our God.
I know it's a short notice for me, but I will say that I've been wandering around all day today going, oh, Lord, I hope we hear a good message tonight. I want to hear something uplifting, and I've been moaning and groaning, but sometimes you got to bring it. That's why I started thinking, who's going to bring it? Why not I? I mean, we, you know, it's so easy to get wrapped up in all the junk on the... Really, the reason I'm doing this, I want to see how long I can make the usher stand there. That's great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see the sweat beading out on Mark's head. No, not really. I mean, I don't mean that. But I am thankful to be here. I'm thankful to have a city of refuge to run to after all the bad news that's on the TV and all this and all that. It's like I've been going to the gym at the Baptist here lately, and I almost hate to go. But they've got four big screen TVs in front of the treadmill, and every one of those big screen TVs is on MSNBC, CNBC, Fox, and CNN. It's like you're just fed a nonstop diet of this junk. And you can't look away because there it is. You know, the human eye follows movement, and there's movement on that screen. And so you think you're going to plug in the headphones where you don't have to listen to, you don't have to listen to it, and then guess what they've got? Closed captioning. You can't get away from it. But you can get away from it. You can get away from it. It's just go to that, the city of refuge. Go to that tower. And I don't want to be one of these dull, boring, depressed Christians. I just don't. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be a dull, boring, depressed sinner. I just don't want to be dull, boring, and depressed, period. So sometimes, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves. And I'm going to try this. I didn't even have any. Brother Tally loves to put me on the spot. Where's that? No, he really doesn't. I love Brother Tally. Give me a D chord if you can. There was a man of God called Hezekiah. He grew old in years and time for him to die. Minor. As his face turned to the wall, God heard his cry. And he added 15 years to Hezekiah. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible for man. He's an ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. Abraham took his son upon the hill, determined in his heart to do God's will. But through the love and mercy of the great I Am, God stayed the hand of Abraham. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible for man. He's an ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. Jonah was a rebel and he went to the depths of hell. God took him to the bottom of the sea in the belly of the whale. He cried out to the Lord, save me from harm. For I know you're my God and you're able to perform. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible for man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. He's just the same today as he was before. When he healed the sick and raised the dead and more. Now through the valley we lean up on his arm. He's our God and he's able to perform. And I said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. Our God is able to perform. Abraham took his son upon a hill, determined in his heart to do God's will. But through the love and mercy of the great I Am, God stayed the hand of Abraham. And he said, my God is able to perform the things which are impossible with man. He's the ever-present help in time of storm. My God is able to perform.
Good. Home feels good. I had to deliver a puppy this weekend. The man lives in Alabama, so we decided to meet halfway in Mississippi. And that was an experience. I learned a few things I won't do again, I can tell you that. And one of them is not drive out to somebody's duck camp to deliver a puppy. After all that rain, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I ended up in a farm field stuck in the mud. I honestly did. It was, that was fun. Yeah, anyway, I'm thankful that the gentleman wasn't too far away from where I got stuck and he had a Jeep with a winch on the front. I'm really thankful for that. But it's even with that, it was an ordeal getting out of there. It was a mess. And don't trust your GPS and don't trust MapQuest. That's all I'm saying, because they were both wrong. And I didn't have sense enough to stop quick enough. Anyway, so, but it got better. I mean, it rained and rained and rained, and that part wasn't fun either. But it got better because since we were in Mississippi anyway, and if anybody here knows Carly Boyd from Macomb, Mississippi, that girl has persistence down to a fine art. And ever since September campground, she's texted me way more than this, but at least 3 times a week she'll ask, when are you coming to Macomb? So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to be in Mississippi. I'm not that far. To ask Brother Smith, and he said, fine, go ahead. So we just slipped on down to Macomb for the weekend and surprised her. She didn't know it. Her mom knew, so yeah. Her mom knew about it, so we surprised her. Anyway, it was fun, but it was a joy to visit another church I hadn't been to before, although their young people have been here to our youth meetings and stayed and fellowshiped with our young people. And we had a really good visit, stayed with Brother Kevin and Sister Karen Boyd in their home, and just really enjoyed a good fellowship with them. And then in church, they had Saturday night and Sunday, so it was kind of like going back in time, you know, to that old schedule. But we had a really good time. We enjoyed it. One thing Brother Brett just said about, you know, sometimes you have to bring it with you. They got to talk, and of course, you know, Little Rock brings up dancing and Brother Tucker and old memories that Brother Boyd remembered. And so they got to talking about it, and I guess it whipped up some memories or something. And Sunday morning service, Brother Keith Boyd is their Brother Boyd's son and their band director, and he brought church with him that morning. He was ready. He was on fire when he started up the band, and he was just, you know, he was really getting into it. And then when the song service started, he started shouting, and they all got to dancing, and a couple of them got drunk, and I mean, they just really had a good time. And so it was a good spirit and a good feeling. And then a sister got up, and what his words made me think of besides that was a comment that she made that has stuck with me. She said, you've got to make change to see change. And that goes right along with that. If you want to see something change, if you want to see something done, you got to do something about it. If I want to get something out of service, I better come prepared to glean and, you know, pick it out of there and get it, because it'll be here. There'll be that nugget. There'll be something. You know, sometimes there may be more nuggets than others. Sometimes there may be, you know, a bushel basket full. Sometimes there may be only a handful, but there will be something if I come prepared to look for it and dig it out and find it. So I'm just really, I'm glad to be back home and thankful for what we have.
Songs have been going over my head, like learning to lean, learning to lean, and trusting Jesus and learning how to lean. And I was singing when I was getting ready for church, and I would start singing, learning to lean. And I just start singing that song, and it hit me, learning to lean. How long have you been serving God? You're always learning. When are you going to get it? You know, because I'm going through something right now. I mean, not going through, but there's a thing going on, and I'm trusting God. And Sister Yvonne went to work, and her hours are kind of odd. And I've got the Houston meeting coming up and the wedding coming up. I'm going, and I got Mom. I'm going, and my sister-in-law has not said she'd watch her yet. And I'm going, I'm trusting God. And then some days I'm going, oh, God, what am I going to do? And then I go, you're not trusting God. You're not trusting him, you know. And so, and today something came in my mind, and I thought, you're not, when are you going to learn? You're learning to lean on Jesus? It's about time after 40-something years you know how to lean on him. I do lean on him, and I do trust him. But sometimes we take it back, you know. And we say we're trusting him. I was going through a trial a couple of years ago, and I was really going through something something personal, and I spent a lot of time praying. It was so involved in this I couldn't eat, and I do eat. If anybody knows me, I do eat. I know I'm not very big, but. Go out to eat with me sometime, huh, Sherry? And I can flat put the food away. And but I would wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be going, like that. And then I'd start pacing the floor. Well, I wasn't trusting God, you know. And I was at a meeting and I was bawling through the whole service. I mean, not sobbing where everybody could hear me, but I was having to keep the... The Lord said, when are you going to give it to me? Let me have it. I'm in control. Let me have it. All you're doing is telling me you don't trust me. I gave it to him, and he went to work. He went to work in a mighty way. And I don't know why I feel like sharing this tonight, but because when I talk, I just reveal what I'm really like, you know, who I really am and where I'm at in God. So it's kind of embarrassing sometimes, but, you know, it's a walk and a growth. You never stop growing. I was talking to Mickey one day a couple weeks ago, and y'all young people won't understand this yet, but I said, I'm fixing to be 64. How come it took me so long to get here what I know at 64? Emotionally, I'm not real educated, so it's not education I've got in the books. But and then I thought, and it's like finding the body. You can't tell it because they don't want it. I could say, hey, let me pick a young person, anybody, you know, let's go talk. I'm going to help you here. They'd say, well, that don't apply to me. You know, that won't apply to me. And I thought, you get it, and if it takes so long of progress and growing in God and going through things to get it, and you can't give it to nobody. It's like when I met the body, I thought, everybody's going to want this. They didn't want it. They thought I lost my rocker. I went to take care of my mom. She was in the hospital, and she wasn't doing very good, so I flew down to Houston and was taking care of her. And Houston had gotten real bad where she lives, so I wanted to be in before dark and lock the door. And one of her neighbors stopped me and said, are you Margaret's daughter? Are you Margaret Ann? And I said, yes. And she said, is it true that you are a holy roller and you swing from rafters? And my mother, oh, I could have just died. Because that's what my mother told her. And I said, yes, it is. It's got her back, you know. She said, how long is your hair? Back then, my hair was real long. And so I just took it down, and she said, wow. And then she just walked off, you know. I just let her, you know, okay. Sideshow here. But I don't know why I went that way. But I was thinking, you know, my family just thought I went off. You know, they didn't see anything more. When I was in religion, my mother wasn't godly, but she thought it was awesome. She went and bought Miggy, got called to ministry. She went and bought him a bunch of Bibles and study books. And she's so proud of him. And then he went this way, she thought he was nuts. So, and when I got the Holy Ghost, I knew everybody's going to want the Holy Ghost, but nobody wanted it. And so now that I'm 64, nobody wants what I kind of know about life. So, but I just was thinking about leaning on God and trusting him through everything. And some days I had a little negative attitude this part of the day, and I kept working on it, and, you know, singing and working on it, and it went away, like she was talking about. I mean, Brett was talking about. It just went away. When I was getting ready for church, I was ready for church. I was happy, and I'm trusting Jesus, and I'm trusting him. I always trust him, but you know how, okay, I'll give you an example. We have this car, and I can set the speed control, and I can set car lengths. I can be one car length, two car lengths, three car lengths behind it. Now, this is how bad I am trusting. If I'm following somebody two car lengths behind and they slow down or traffic slows down, my car will slow down. Or if they stop, my car will stop. But I don't trust that much. So I'm sitting like this the whole time with my foot in front of the brake just in case it don't work. Just in case. Because what are you doing? What if the computer fails and it don't work? You know? Yeah. My trust isn't quite there. So I don't hope I made a little bit of sense tonight, but I really love the Lord, and I trust him. And when I was seeing young people, we have some good young people, and we've got some good young men that have really grown up in this church. And since we've been here 5 years, watching them go from 15 to 20, 22 years old has just been amazing, watching them become these young men that they are and young women that we have. And I'm real thankful for them.
Thank you.
Service, whatever I put into it, and sitting here thinking all kinds of things I could say. I thought, well, I might as well just get up and just start trying something. But I'm glad to be home, and we did have a good visit with Rachel and the people in the church there, and had a really good service there with them, and just was so thankful. It was in the service, it was just such a good spirit, and just thinking of. Like Sister Smith said, of just having faith in the Lord and seeing the miracles that he can perform. And I was thinking, you know, there's so many times I get, you know, so overwhelmed with me trying to figure it all out instead, you know, and trying to put God in a box instead of, you know, like she said, just let go and just watch what he can do. And, you know, and why every time he comes through, I'm surprised. Wow, look what God did. Well, he's always been able to do that, you know. And, you know, it's, oh, ye of little faith. And but I definitely know that my God is able to perform and has. And he's always been so faithful. And I was just thinking, you know, I've told my kids, I've said this there in Louisville that, you know, I've told my kids so many times that, you know, there's life's just not worth living if you're not living it with the Lord. And I just want to keep walking with him and depending on him to guide my life. And I know that he has his hand on our family and my children, and, you know, they are his children, and I know that he can lead and guide them in the way that he has with me, and I'm just so thankful for where I am today, and look forward to what the Lord has for us this year.
I was thinking of that song Sister Lynette was singing, first one, got me thinking about praising God. And, you know, he don't have to have us praising him for him to do things. That's not his agenda. But if we... Same way with our parents, I guess. If we learn to honor what God does for us, you know, even though if we hit rock bottom and we still praise God and we still let him know that we love him and that we want to serve him no matter what, it puts an obligation on him to say, hey, this fella, no matter what he's going through, he still is going to love me. And so I'm obligated to help him. You know, it puts him just in a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And I was thinking of that. I thought, you know, Lord, and he can do anything. I remember when we had this ice storm here a few weeks ago, I guess. We was at, without electric for about 7 days, you know. Of course, I've been out longer than that before. I remember in Springfield, we was out of power for 13 days, I believe it was. And of course, we had heat. I had a little bit of wood. And we had heat and stuff. And, you know, I guess God wants you to be resourceful yourself also, you know. He can put you in those situations. Well, I got to think, well, we're going to have something to eat here, so I guess it's just like camping. You're camping at the house. So I got around looking, and I had a camp stove. I had one of these little Coleman camp stoves, and I went to all different places and trying to find me some camp gas. You know, it's one you pour liquid in it, you know. So I've been hearing that you could put just regular gas in these things, and they work. I thought, well, now I know you can. I'm going to try it. So I went and got me a gallon of gas and poured it in there in this camp stove. And I thought, well, I better take this outside just in case it blows up. It won't hurt nobody but me. So I pumped that thing up, boy, about 40 or 50 times and turned it on and stuck me a water paper in there, lit it, and popped on, boy, and just the prettiest little flame you ever seen, you know. So then I had another little single burner, you know. I poured some gas in that thing and fired that thing up. So I took her inside, and we went to boiling water. I had some hot chocolate and, you know, different things. We made stuff on it. We were just as cozy and no power. Boy, when the lights went out and it got dark, you better go to bed, you know, unless you want to sit by a candle. But, you know, it really got me to thinking about how good God is. you know, we have all these conveniences of lights and gas to put in cars and trot down the road and stuff, but I think sometimes God wants us to just stop. And at all the speed that we've attained, and say, Lord, I appreciate you. I love you. No matter what, I want to try to serve you. I want to do my best to let you know that I honor you and I put you first in my life. That's what he wants. He wants us to put God first in everything that we do. And then he will start blessing us. Not so much with materialistic things, and that's good, but when he gives you a peace in your heart and you know he loves you. It doesn't matter, you know, whether or not, you know, this world likes you or what, but you know down in your heart God is dwelling there and his spirit has touched your heart to the point where, God, I want to serve you no matter what. No matter what I go through, I want to put you first in my life because I realize that you're my only hope of salvation. And it is. He is our only hope of salvation. We could obtain high positions in the government. We could obtain big things. We could write novels that sold millions and millions and made big money. Or we could do a lot of different things, and that's good. But without God, it means nothing. It means nothing at all. Because with that good, sweet spirit that gets down in our heart, it puts the love of our brothers and our sisters there. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the love of God that has in my heart, I could be contrary. I could be mean. But, you know, when God pricks your heart and gives you the sweet Holy Ghost, there's something there that changes inside of us. And that change is good. That change has done something. And like Sister Smith said, you get the Holy Ghost and you think, well, everybody wants this, but they don't. They don't want this. And it's just like the body of Christ. You'd think everybody wants this, but they don't want it. It's got to be what is it that I heard a long time ago, was it said, in order to come to God, you have to have the three D's or something: in despair, in debt, and depressed, or something. Those, I can't remember what those three were, but that's the only way it seemed like God can get a man down on his knees. And it's always been that way, it seemed like. I'm the same way. I wish I could get down there way before that time when God dealt with me, but I'm glad that he did. And I'm glad that God has never gave up on me, because I wouldn't be in here today if God had gave up on me. And I'm glad that he never gave up on me. Aren't you? Aren't you glad God never gave up on you and just let you go back out in the world? I know sometimes it takes that to get a person to wake up. It's just like, when I was out of power, I was so glad that my power come on, and I was a little bit happy to pay my bill then. From then on, you know, I thought, you know, I'm kind of glad to pay this bill because, man, it's convenient. It really helped. But, you know, God is not convenient. He is our life. He is in the process of giving us life to our soul. And he is in the process, in the meantime, of giving us such a blessing that we are thankful that we serve God. Because he is an all-living God that is able to deliver. Now, that doesn't mean just to deliver us from little bitty hardships and things, but from anything. He can deliver us from anything. And we've got to trust him. And you know, pray that I can trust God and trust God more. Because that's what he wants us to do, is trust God. Trust him. Sister Smith was saying the same thing. We got to learn to trust him. We've got to learn to put it all in God's hands. But I'll sit down here. I'm getting excited. I get excited when I think about God. I may be like, what's this little dog? He's a cartoon. He's a little bitty dog. He's a little white dog. He just run up. I'm kind of like him. Then he'd say, I'm happy. You know, I'm excited. Droopy, that's his name. little Droopy. I feel like him sometimes. But when it comes to serving God, I get excited. You know, it dwells up in me, you know. But anyway, I love God, don't you? I love him, and I praise him. That's what Sister Lynette was saying about earlier, the praises of God. A two-edged sword in my hand, and I'm serving a God that can deliver me from anything. And I praise him. I love him. Pray for us.
Especially made me think of, but I can't find the music anywhere. It's grown legs and walked off, I guess. Some of y'all may have heard it. It's called He'll Do It Again. I'm not going to try it because I don't know if I don't think I can play it. But the chorus says, He'll do it again, he'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. I love that song. Now I'm going to have to find music. Now it's got me. But I thought of that when Sister Smith was talking about how long is it going to take us to learn to trust him. You know, he does things for us. And then Sister Cindy said, and we're so surprised when he comes through again, you know. But he has. He's always come through. And I want to remember that. That's hard to remember, you know, sometimes. Just like, and we talk about the children of Israel, you know, we really run them down sometimes, how they just would turn their back after a little thing. But honestly, can't say I'm a whole lot better. You know, I hope I am a little. I do have something they didn't have. But I do. I want to remember those things. I appreciate those words tonight, to remember to trust him and remember where he's brought us from, where we've been, and that he will come through. This is not that at all. See if I can get this one. It talks about trusting him. Yes, I'll trust him when the dark shadows gather. I'll trust him when the sun don't shine. I'll trust him when
trust Him till the end of time. I'll trust Him when the dark shadows gather. I'll trust Him when the sun don't shine. I'll trust Him when the storms are raging. Shadows gather. I'll trust Him when the sun don't shine. I'll trust Him when the storms are raging. I'll trust Him till the end of time. I'll trust Him when the dark shadows gather. I'll trust Him when the sun don't shine.
Service. I know we get out. I'm gonna let y'all out a little early tonight, but before we go home, I wanna give him a praise before we go home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Worthy of my praise at all times.
Give you thanks. Times you've come through for us, Lord.
Thank you.
Helped us all these many times. As old Droopy Dog would say, shake hands and be friendly.
Oh.